Welcome back to Microsoft Virtualization for VMware Professionals. For the second half of the day, we're going to be focusing on comparing the kind of cloud capabilities, public cloud, and then how we look to expand that and connect that with our on-premise infrastructure, and then even up to the public cloud. I'm Simon Perryman, a technical evangelist and VMware certified professional with Microsoft, and I'm joined again by Matt McSpirit, a technical product manager and also a VMware certified professional working with Microsoft. So Matt, why don't you take it away and tell us what we're going to be covering in this module.
Excellent. Thanks, Simon. So we're going to build on what we learned in the first half of the day, where we looked at Hyper-V specifically, scalability, performance, density, resiliency, all that cool stuff. And now we're going to focus and elevate the discussion up and bring in some management capability. Because ultimately, when you're evaluating perhaps your next generation platform for your data center, or you're thinking about where you want to go with your infrastructure, it's unlikely that the hypervisor element is going to be in isolation. You're going to combine it with management, certainly in scaled environments, mid-market and larger enterprises. And we want to help you understand just where Microsoft's strengths are in this place and help understand where some of the differentiators are versus VMware solutions. And 12, 18, 24 months ago, this might have been a very different conversation, from the sense that VMware were very focused on virtualization. vSphere, vCenter was their real story, and some of the other components were starting to emerge. With Microsoft, Hyper-V was kind of getting going, and System Center had been a very mature piece of our portfolio. Now VMware, fast forward to now, and VMware have got a plethora of management capabilities, technologies, some built, some acquired. Microsoft's got a more complete portfolio. So in some ways, it's great that there's so much choice, but in the same sentence, it's also a challenge to understand all of that. So we want to help you understand where System Center 2012, specifically SP1, fits, and in the context of private cloud as well. So we'll open up and we'll focus on initially just defining the private cloud and what we're talking about. What are the key characteristics that are important when we think about cloud, and what differentiates private cloud from just cloud computing in general and public cloud services? And then we'll dive into System Center, and we'll be looking at demos throughout the afternoon around some of the key components and technologies, and help you understand and translate your knowledge and skills from that existing VMware knowledge that you may have into a Microsoft platform as well.
So with that, you know, as we start the private cloud, one of the most common questions that we get asked is, virtualization the same thing as private cloud? So just kind of want to spend a few minutes here and help articulate the differences that we see with highly virtualized environments and with private clouds. Now, most of you guys are virtualization experts already, right? And you understand kind of these core benefits: easy deployment, high availability and mobility, server consolidation, it's scalable both upwards and downwards, and you can have multiple tenants. But what we really want to do is take it to the next level and really help you understand what's kind of different here and what the changes are when we actually look at the private cloud itself. And so for a private cloud, virtualization is a critical concept, but we do require a little more. First of all is automation. So when we think of automation, this means that we are automatically doing repetitive tasks. So if you have a series of steps that you're consistently doing, let's automate it. Let's free up some more time for you so that you could spend your time working on new tasks, working on new projects. Essentially, our goal here is to make you be able to do more with less time, which in turn will make you more valuable to your company and will help your career, as you can now do twice as much, three times as much, four times as much. And one great example of that is the cluster patching features that we've added, right? If you're sat there evacuating nodes, adding patches, rebooting, not the best use of your time when we can fully automate that. So number one is automation. The second one is having pools of computing resources. And so rather than being bound to having virtual machines run on a specific rack, use specific storage, networks, or a data center, we essentially want to be able to aggregate all of these compute resources. So that's your servers, memory, network, and disk, so that you can use it on demand as you need. And it's not just being able to allocate it out, but it's also to be able to reuse it once that particular service has been done, it's gone with its life cycle. Now, the next component is self-service. And what we really aim to do with self-service is, again, free up your time by better enabling our end users. So let's say you have an application developer. They've just done their newest version of their app. They want to go and deploy it in the data center, start running it. Well, the traditional method was they'd send an email, they'd pick up the phone, you'd copy files over, and then your IT pro would follow a series of configuration steps, configuring the networks, configuring the storage, then providing that as a single unit for you to go manage. But again, we're trying to free up your time as the IT pro. What we're trying to do with self-service is basically enable the end user to make an automatic request through a web-based portal. They hit a button, I need a new VM. We use automation in the background, use standard templates to go and deliver that service, that application, or that VM. So it's essentially allowing you to step out the picture for these repetitive day-to-day tasks and allow these end users to make these requests themselves. And then finally is usage-based chargeback. And what we really mean by this is having accurate monitoring and measurements of the resource utilization throughout your environment. Now, a lot of companies, they don't do internal chargeback. You know, if a business unit uses more resources, they have to pay more. But some teams certainly do. And so as part of this cloud concept, we want to provide that. But beyond just providing the benefits of having accurate chargebacks, this actually helps you with your business planning as well. As you could kind of see trends and growth in financial expenditures, you could better predict how much budget you're going to need next quarter, next year, how much money a particular service costs. So these are kind of the key concepts of private cloud and how we take that beyond virtualization.
Yeah, and just to build on that, there are obviously a lot of cloud services out there. You think of Windows Azure, you think of solutions from the likes of Amazon. There's lots of solutions, and they share a certain commonality. They're pooling resources together, as Simon said. They're aggregating pools of fabric and resources and dividing them up in a way that's very scalable and elastic, rather than focusing on individual nuts and bolts like physical servers and NICs and disks. We're aggregating all of that together into flexible pools that we can then divide and slice out more flexibly and in a dynamic way. We're elastic, as Simon touched on. We're helping organizations to scale up and down as they see fit. Think about an organization that deals with post, so mail, physical mail. At Christmas, it's going to be a busy time for that kind of organization, sending cards in between certain countries and domestically. Do they need a full number of servers all year round just to support the peak at Christmas? Or would they be better having a smaller number for most of the year, reduce power consumption, and then elastically scaling up and take advantage of some of the cloud services to do that and just pay for what they use and then reduce down when the time is right? That's the kind of thing we can achieve in cloud. Self-service, as Simon's touched on, helping the users to help themselves. We've seen so many times in IT where I can't get the answer from IT that I want, so I'm just going to go and ring a third party and they'll give me some servers. And I'll just, all these pockets of IT pop up all over the infrastructure, and it's a nightmare for the real IT to manage because they've just popped up off the radar. So we want to help provide that facility for IT to find that middle ground with the end users who have a vested interest in consuming IT, whether that's as an application owner or somebody who just needs to fix their printer or whatever it may be. We want to build that relationship between those two sides of the business. And as Simon said, usage-based is very important. But these are generic characteristics of cloud. Usage-based is a good example. Think about Azure. You run a VM in there or you run a website and you pay for what you use, effectively, storage, networking, those kind of things. Usage-based, can we adopt that within the enterprise? Because private cloud takes all of those kind of characteristics, as Simon said, and brings the control and customization to you. So think about Azure. It's a public cloud service. You can spin a VM up there or you can deploy a website, but you're not in charge of rebooting the Azure infrastructure or patching it. It's just there. Office 365 is another good example. You know, when you're getting your email, you're not worried about who's patching and maintaining the Exchange server up there. Microsoft is taking care of that for you. But if you've got compliancy requirements or you want that control and that administration and that ability to tailor and customize the service beyond what the public cloud services offer, then we can borrow some of those attributes, combine them with our on-premise technology and deliver a more controlled and customized solution that's specific to you as a customer and you as a business. So it's dedicated to you. Very cheesy, but it is. I'm not saying that's not typical IT pro, but there you go. So where does System Center fit? Is System Center private cloud? Well, no, but it's a key driver for our private cloud story. It unlocks a lot of those attributes that we've talked about, and it builds on what we've talked about in Hyper-V to provide that complete solution to delivering private cloud capabilities. Whether you want to deploy them on-premise, whether you want to integrate them with partners and service providers, build hybrid infrastructures, or connect them with public cloud services as well. So in this session, we're going to focus from an introductory perspective on System Center. But we also want to compare and contrast with VMware, so that those of you who've got experience or maybe learning will understand just what the options are out there. And I've divided it up into a couple of key layers. So the hypervisor we've already talked about this morning, but VM management, monitoring, automation, protection, both VMware and Microsoft have components that offer these capabilities within our software stacks that are licensed in different ways, and we'll touch on that briefly as well. But on the VMware side, at the base, at the foundation, you've got that VMware or the vSphere hypervisor, where we've talked a bit about it in the session this morning and compared and contrasted it with Hyper-V. But then above that, from a VM management perspective, most vSphere admins, in fact, anybody who's taken a VCP exam and is certified, will have used vCenter extensively, I'm sure. vCenter is that, they're like bread and butter, they just go together, vSphere hypervisor and vCenter. And that's enabling the administrator to manage those vSphere hypervisors centrally, configure networking, storage, create VMs, manage VMs, decommission VMs, whatever it may be. It's core to the vSphere infrastructure. It's the center, if you will. But there's some new technology that's also linking in with VM management. One of those is under the vFabric banner. vFabric was kind of started when the whole SpringSource acquisition came along and VMware became more interested and more committed to dev side of things, SpringSource, Java, and so on. And some of their vFabric technologies are linked in with that, but they've come over to the private cloud arena, where, as an example, vFabric Application Director allows vCenter admins and vSphere admins to deploy multi-tiered virtual machines. And we'll look at how that compares and contrasts. We'll look at the Microsoft solution specifically shortly. When it comes to monitoring, VMware over the years have had partners who would provide pretty compelling monitoring solutions for a VMware infrastructure that would allow you to go way beyond just what vSphere was collecting in terms of metrics about hosts and memory usage from VMs and CPU and so on. But now within the vCenter Operations Management Suite, which is a collection of technologies, so it's a suite within a suite, if you will, within their private cloud suite, this vCenter Ops Management Suite has a number of components associated with monitoring, configuration management, infrastructure views of connected VMs and services. It's a very powerful monitoring suite, but it's still gaining momentum. It's early days in this. There's a couple of acquired technologies that are starting to need to be gelled together, and they need to be gelled into vCenter itself. And not everything talks with everything in harmony, and I'm sure as VMware would like at this point in time. But it's certainly starting to come together, particularly in the most recent releases. But from an automation perspective, VMware have a technology known as vCenter Orchestrator, free to people who've purchased vSphere and have got vCenter. vCenter Orchestrator allows automation of key VMware parts, but it's very focused on VMware technology in this release, and we'll draw on that a bit more later on. vSphere data protection also included within vSphere. So this is a technology that will allow you to back up your virtual machines from a central source and restore them in the need of a problem. Up until recently, VMware didn't really have a play within what we call the service management space, IT service management. But after the acquisition of Dynamic Ops, which isn't that old, it's within the last 12 months, VMware have got a solution that's giving them certain elements of service management, self-service, the ability to request private cloud resources. But it's not a CMDB-based product. It's not an ITIL-aligned technology in the sense of a CMDB would be from the likes of System Center Service Manager or some of the solutions that are out there from other companies like BMC, for instance, or HP. So it's a solution that's given VMware a specific need to request private cloud resources, but it's not necessarily focused on ITIL as such. And then finally, we've talked about requesting private cloud resources, but what about consuming? That's where vCloud Director comes in, and arguably the product that's got the most maturity from the vCloud specific element. That was probably the first one that was introduced and focused on enabling organizations to consume private cloud resources through a self-service model. So rather than going through vCenter and delegated administration that way, you could carve up and use what you've built within vCenter. You could create these virtualized or virtual data centers and provide them to tenants, customers, whatever it may be, business units, through vCloud Director. There was still an element of configuration you could do with vCloud Director, so it was quite granular in what you can configure, networks and virtual machines and virtualized data centers. But ultimately, it is designed with that consumption in mind. And it also has a part to play in the story of connecting these different infrastructures, multiple vClouds, for instance. So that's a bit of a heads up. Some of that may be new to the vSphere guys. You know, what we see with a lot of our customers is they're using core vSphere. You know, they're using the hypervisor, vCenter. They've been using it for a while. They've been happy with it. But what we're seeing now is perhaps starting to creep in a slightly increased adoption of some of these other periphery technologies. So they're starting to gain momentum. But Microsoft has got an incredibly mature portfolio, which is ultimately now a single product in System Center, that's very mature, that's widely regarded in the industry, and is giving organizations who've embraced it in the past, it's given new life and new capability with this release. And for organizations who are new to System Center, it's giving them new options around how they can deliver a more integrated management solution. So on the Microsoft side, that hypervisor, Hyper-V. We talked about it extensively this morning, loads of features, cool stuff. Hyper-V Server or Windows Server Hyper-V. You know, you decide, it's up to you. You're not gaining anything or losing anything by choosing one or the other. Obviously, from a licensing perspective, the free Hyper-V server is attractive because it's free, but it doesn't include any guest operating system licenses. If you buy Windows Server 2012 Data Center, however, you can turn on the Hyper-V role on the host, but then you also get guest operating system licenses to use in your guests as well. That's quite useful. When we think about VM management, the closest thing we have in terms of apples to apples comparison with vCenter is Virtual Machine Manager. Now, what's interesting about VMM is it does a lot of stuff. It helps you configure and deploy Fabric, and Simon's going to do a demo in the next session, so after the next break, about just how we deploy our infrastructure, our Fabric, quickly. And you might be thinking, what's Fabric? What are you talking about here? I'm talking about Fabric from the context of servers, storage, networking, all of that stuff that's kind of under the cover that we want to pool together to provide clouds of resource on top of. So it helps us configure all of that, integrating with storage, integrating with network technology, integrating with, obviously, the hypervisor and the host themselves. So from a compute perspective, we're talking about deploying and managing hosts and clusters. From a storage, we're connecting, we're discovering, we're integrating with and being able to allocate storage to hosts and virtual machines. We're abstracting the network, so it's making that network virtualization a lot more manageable. When I went through the slides for network vert earlier on, I was touching on System Center in various parts about how it maintains that policy table of the provider addresses and the relationship with the customer addresses for the VMs. And that's very important, and System Center Virtual Machine Manager plays a key part in that. Clustering, consolidating those Fabric elements together, again, it goes in with that compute really for deploy and manage hosts. It's not about monitoring. So what you'll notice from vCenter is, if you're just using vCenter within your environment today with vSphere, you can still do a little bit of monitoring in there. You've got some nice graphs you can run, performance graphs about virtual machines, CPU memory, host stuff as well. Lots of different choices and ways of slicing the information. VMM doesn't provide as much of that granularity because we provide that in alternative System Center technologies. One of the biggest areas that was new in System Center 2012 and SP1 and VMM specifically was around this cloud creation. How can I simplify the pooling of those resources and presentation through to business units, application owners, whatever it may be? So cloud creation is a key part. And in addition, you think, well, surely Virtual Machine Manager, its core has got to be virtual machine management. Absolutely. Creating, deploying, managing VMs, moving them around, deleting them, whatever it may be, into those clouds or onto regular hosts, however you see fit. If you're not ready for private cloud yet and you want to just use VMM as a regular virtualization management solution, that's fine. But it enables you to go towards those cloud-type capabilities as well. And there's a huge amount of delegation in this particular release. And as we get through the presentation later in the day, you'll see just how granular you can be in terms of role-based administration and who can log in, who can see what they can do when they're logged in. So I mentioned Virtual Machine Manager wouldn't capture all of those metrics itself. And that's where it would pass a lot of the monitoring of the infrastructure, whether it's virtual or physical, to Ops Manager. An ops manager is really about three things. It's around monitoring the core infrastructure, network monitoring, monitoring Windows servers, Linux, non-Microsoft platforms and applications, fabric monitoring, integrating from a virtualization perspective the relationship between VMs and the physical fabric and monitoring it as a whole. So it's aiming to give you visibility into your core infrastructure. But in this release, in 2012 and SP1, there's been a significant drive and focus on elevating the monitoring capability up to being focused very much on applications as well. And I don't just mean Exchange and SQL and core Microsoft applications, but line of business applications that have been built with .NET or Java and built in WCF and also incorporating integration with cloud services that Microsoft offer that allow you to monitor from different angles. We'll talk about something called Global Service Monitor a bit later on. It's certainly a new dimension for those of you who are running externally facing web properties, websites and applications. And finally, it's about communication. And I don't mean sending emails to people in the business. I mean being able to communicate what is vast amounts of data and information in ways that's meaningful to people. So things like rich dashboards, 360 views of information and alerts, so we can understand exactly what's going on and help our application owners, our users, whoever they may be, remediate their problems faster, solve problems, and keep an infrastructure running efficiently. We also want to ensure we can deliver a rich DevOps scenario, and we'll talk about that shortly as well. Now, I think, how long ago was it? Probably 24 months, the Apalis acquisition, maybe a little bit longer,
something like that.
So Microsoft acquired an organization or a company with a product known as Apalis. And Apalis, at the time, when we acquired it, I don't think private cloud had really started to go bang at that point. So automation was still something, I think, that was probably seen as, oh, that's just an enterprise play. You know, a lot of the large enterprises are using automation, but the smaller and mid-sized environments, it's too complex to configure. Well, you know, scripts are time-consuming. We'll just kind of stick with certain manual tasks. And then Microsoft acquired Apalis, and things for Microsoft started to click into place because Apalis gave us a very heavily integrated solution that gelled together not only other system center components, so for instance, taking an alert in Ops Manager and triggering a workflow that would create a virtual machine based on that particular alert, things like that between system center components, but it also acted as an integration point between non-Microsoft systems as well. So applications and platforms and management tools that are developed by other vendors like HP and BMC and others, helping you to protect existing investments and integrate them with new and emerging technology. An orchestrator is, as it now is known, so was Apalis, now orchestrator, is all about automation and integration. So automating processes, regardless of that hardware or platform. As I said, I gave a few examples of how it helps in a heterogeneous environment, integrating third-party tools with Microsoft solutions and helping you build workflows easily, and we'll see some demonstrations of that later on. It helps us not only automate processes, but IT operations and standardize the best practices. We want to help organizations standardize how they roll out VMs, how they request clouds, how they deliver applications, whatever it may be. If you can think of it as a process, you can probably more than likely automate it with Orchestrator. So for instance, on a Friday, certain files get copied to a certain file share. You might have that as a manual task. Why not just automate that? Every Friday at this time, it does this. And there might be a few tasks that you integrate as part of that, like sending an email to say it's been completed. There's lots of integration with different systems that can enable simple and much more complex solutions to really come to bear.
And essentially, you can integrate with anything which has a programmatic interface. So don't think that it's restricted to Microsoft products. We really do have broad offerings. And then you can even call things such as PowerShell scripts, command line, you know, basically anything else that can programmatically call another component in your environment. So very broad. So long as there's no manual graphical user interface where you have to go click, 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 we can integrate it into the environment.
Absolutely, and that's one of the key things, is connecting different systems from different vendors without having to use scripting and programming languages. And as we'll see from the demonstration later, a lot of the legwork and lifting up is done by Orchestrator in the form of activities that we can drag onto a simple canvas and build workflows very quickly that can have some pretty powerful results in a short space of time. So we'll explore some of that stuff later on, but it's a linchpin tool within the System Center family now, within the System Center product. Backup from Data Protection Manager. Data Protection Manager in 2012 SP1 has seen significant improvements in scalability, performance, capability, and is enabling us to protect key workloads and applications, not just VMs. So it's got some great features around virtual machine protection, and it's building on some of the stuff that Simon talked about earlier around CSV improvements. DPM's well integrated now with what's going on in the cluster environment, so it can offer that granular level of protection efficiently and in a high-performance way for key workloads like Hyper-V VMs, SQL, SharePoint, Exchange, Dynamics, Windows Server. Whether it's disk, tape, or cloud, so just like we explained earlier on, Windows Server backing up to Azure, there's integration now with DPM to integrate with Windows Azure as well. So you could use that in conjunction with disk, and as a long-term store, upload that backup to the cloud. It's all part of the interface that is DPM. And it's integrated with those other technologies within Windows Server 2012. So it knows about the other features and functions within Windows Server, like deduplication, for instance. And it's centralized. So what we saw earlier with Windows Server Backup was I would configure Windows Server Backup on one host and it would protect the VMs. I'd have to configure it on another host and it would protect the VMs, and on and on. With this, with DPM, it's centralizing all of that. So it's giving me the aggregated view of all of my stuff that I'm protecting into a single view. And integrating with Ops Manager, it's giving me centralized monitoring of the backup jobs and situation, alerting and reporting, troubleshooting, and so on. And I've got the role-based administration to allow certain people to do certain things. And finally, we get to some of the newer elements of the System Center portfolio. So if you've not been following System Center for a while, but you've perhaps got legacy investment, Operations Manager will probably ring a bell. VMM's been around since 2007, DPM 2006. So some of these products have been around for a little while. Service Manager was only introduced in 2010, and it's had a significant revamp and improvement in 2012 and SP1 to deliver a more complete ITIL-aligned service management solution, giving you things like a service catalogue and offerings that you can present a menu of choices through a rich, intuitive help desk that your users can access, consume, to do certain standardized processes like raise a ticket about their printer or request private cloud infrastructure or whatever it may be. Those two are probably as far apart as you could possibly get in terms of requesting. I've got a problem with my printer and I need a private cloud, but there you go. They're the ones that come to mind. Then you think about request offerings. So within these service offerings that we're offering, okay, here's a service offering for private cloud infrastructure. Within that, we can have lots of request offerings that ask things like, I would like a new virtual machine, or I would like to create a virtual network, or whatever it may be. And these templates and processes help us to really standardize. It's all self-service driven, so end users like Simon could raise a ticket and say, look, I need a new PDF reader, or I need the latest version of X to do my job. But it's all controlled and intuitive. So when Simon logs in, if he's a regular user in the environment, he's just registering a ticket because he's got a problem with his PC. He's not going to see all of the information and service offerings that relate to private cloud, because it's not appropriate for him. But other users may see different things depending on who they are. It's intuitive, it's built on SharePoint, and it integrates so closely with the other System Center tools, enabling process and system automation that really help drive considerable value. So integrating with the Orchestrator runbooks, integrating with the other System Center components to provide a centralized view of the infrastructure and a standardized approach to delivering new services within IT. And finally, you've got chargeback. This was a new feature that was introduced in SP1, so 2012 SP1. Chargeback specifically focuses on enabling you to see what you're consuming and also put a price associated with those. And we may see a demo later on if we've got time on that. And the final one, as close to apples with vCloud Director, is App Controller. And App Controller was new with 2012 and improved with SP1, and that's ultimately allowing us to deliver self-service for application administrators. So I would request stuff in the self-service portal of Service Manager, but I would consume my private clouds, my services, and my apps through App Controller. And we'll see, and this will all make sense as we go forward, and we'll look in these in more detail. So it's about management of applications. I'm not interested in the hosts and the NICs and the physical storage and all of those key fabric components. It's been elevated and abstracted away from me as that application owner. So I'm using this to deploy my applications, to manage my applications, and to connect and use my applications as an application owner. And that will make more sense shortly. And I can connect not just VMM managed stuff, but service provider clouds, and also Windows Azure subscriptions through App Controller as well. So it's centralizing the view. So hopefully that gives you as close as possible from a product view, apples to apples. But what about licensing view? Because this seems like a lot of technology. And on the Microsoft side, it's slightly different from the VMware side. With VMware, you can still acquire many of these things piecemeal. So I can buy vCloud Director on its own on top of vSphere. I can buy vCloud Automation Center on its own. Data protection is part of vSphere, so I don't buy that necessarily. Same with Orchestrator. The Operations Management Suite, I can purchase separately. And vFabric Application Director, I can purchase separately. But VMware have taken an approach very similar to Microsoft with 5.1 and the most updated vCloud Suite, in the sense that they've aggregated much of that together and are charging a per CPU price, of which that price there on the screen, as correct as of the end of December, with the links available to check for yourselves, is focused on the highest end edition of the vCloud suite for two processors. So that's for a two CPU box. But on the Microsoft side, that's where we've got a slightly similar approach. Hyper-V's on its own, you would buy that. You wouldn't buy that as part of System Center. It's either a download with Hyper-V Server or Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V. But then System Center is licensed separately, with the Data Center edition for two processors being around about the 3,600 mark, including software assurance. So that's just to kind of give context of, not necessarily pricing is there, and we'll look at costs later on in the session, but more just the simplification of how I can acquire the technology. I can buy vCloud Suite, I can buy the System Center technology and get all of the components within it.
Now, I think one of the nice things about being able to bundle everything is, you know what, if you just want VMM, you just get a few things, we're going to give you our entire private cloud suite. And so, you know, we had a lot of customers that said, hey, my company only has licenses for VMM and Ops Manager, but I want to try Service Manager, I want to try Opalis or Orchestrator. And they were restricted by this licensing, but what we've really aimed to do is simplify these private cloud deployments. You get one thing, you get everything. So you don't have to be worried about finances, when you're going to get a chance to try automation with Orchestrator, anything like that. With System Center 2012, you get everything anyway. So you could take your time to roll out these test programs, these pilots, and you still have this full suite of tools.
Yeah. So to wrap up, we're going to finish this introduction section. We get another quick break. The focus for the remainder of the day, the remainder of the session, is on how we can help you deliver apps more effectively, managing heterogeneous infrastructures. We'll touch again on what we've reviewed in the first place, just how it reflects and relates to the private cloud, and then we'll look at hybrid IT. So that concludes the first session, and for that, it's time for a break.
We'll see you shortly.